Well, it's been 2 years now since we legalized pot in this state. Licensed recreational growers and sellers are up and running, although it did take a while. KUOW's Amy Radel reports there are lots of issues to resolve, but licensees say the system is working.
When you talk to the state's licensed growers and sellers of marijuana, you discover that many of them first opposed Initiative 502. They favored legalization, but they had concerns about the details of the initiative itself. That was the case for Danielle and Jetty Rosellison of Bellingham, Washington. But once it passed, Danielle says they jumped right in.
We got two mortgages on the two homes that we own. I called all our credit cards and told them I was going to put a BMW on it, and they extended my limits to ridiculous amounts.
It still cost much more than they ever anticipated. But now the results are visible. Trailblazin' Productions is the 17,000-square-foot warehouse where they're licensed to produce and process marijuana for state retail stores. Their favorite stop on the tour is the flower room, where plants are kept in pristine conditions.
It makes me so happy to be in here every time.
Why?
It's clean, it's organized, it's structured. We're doing it.
80 degrees, 50% humidity, right. Slight breeze. It's a good work environment.
This month, they expect to make their first shipment to licensed retail stores. And now that they're up and running, she says, investors are eager to help them.
And now we have people calling all the time.
But when they most needed the money, as one of the first 502 businesses in the area, she says, there weren't nearly as many phone calls. And people at Chamber of Commerce meetings avoided eye contact.
Before January 1st in Colorado went live, nobody was talking about it. And so it was so hush-hush, and even the investors we found were super hush-hush. They didn't want us to tell people. Our parents didn't want to tell people. Like,
they
it was,
to tell their friends.
It was not cool. And I would say things changed after January 1, but really, like, as the year has gone on, we are definitely cool.
That family support is crucial because they can't have anyone under age 21 in the warehouse. That includes their children, ages 2 and 4. Jetty says the kids used to ride skateboards in the warehouse while it was under construction, but these days they have to stay at their grandmother's house. And Danielle picks them up on the way home. Danielle says their parents are also a big help financially, such as buying Christmas presents for the kids, since getting the business off the ground has left them strapped. But despite all the hurdles, they say the state of Washington is pretty much getting things right in its approach.
My opinion is this is a big deal. It's still a Schedule I narcotic. And if it's not done right, then the feds will pull the rug.
People have been waiting for this to happen for decades, and it's happening right now. So rather than being like, oh, it's so slow, can't we be super excited that it is happening?
Meanwhile, in the city of Shoreline, retail store owner Maria Moses is feeling a little apprehensive. Her marijuana store, Dockside Cannabis, is light-filled and polished-looking. It's been open for 5 days, and she has no shortage of marijuana to sell. But unlike Seattle's grand opening in July, when people lined up hours in advance, Dockside is pretty quiet. And Moses says she knows these retail stores will only appeal to certain customers.
If you're comparing this to medical or to the black market, there's no comparison just on price. We will probably attract the people who, one, care about the fact that they're supporting local businesses, that the tax money that they're paying actually is going to some good things for the state, and also that everything here is tested.
Moses and the Rosellisons say banking remains a huge challenge for their businesses. They mostly got them off the ground with cash. And Moses had another consequence from her role in the marijuana business. Her financial advisors recently said they no longer wanted custody of her retirement fund, even though the savings was from her previous job at Microsoft.
Ameriprise was dropping me as a client for an IRA that I had where every single penny into that IRA was from working in the software industry. Not one penny was from the marijuana industry.
Ameriprise dropped the account in order to comply with federal banking regulations. Moses says she was able to transfer her retirement account to a new firm where she declined to discuss her current profession. The financial advisor looked a little quizzical, she says, but didn't pursue it. Moses says the experience taught her that Washington's new transparency about marijuana has its limits, but she knows there are people in other states who would love to have her problems.
Because all across the country, you know, there are people who have lost their freedom and families who've been destroyed over this plant. And here I am complaining about, oh, I had to transfer my IRA. So, you know, you have to keep it in perspective, too.
The fact that Washington's marijuana system was open to small business people like Moses and the Rosellisons was a deliberate decision by the Washington State Liquor Control Board. Chris Marr is one of the board members. We meet at the Washington State Convention Center in downtown Seattle, where he's been speaking to various marijuana business groups. Marr says they considered whether to license a small group of mega growers.
Or, as we found out as we went out and did our many forums throughout the state, there was already an existing industry with many thousands of participants, and the message was loud and clear. They intended to participate, and that if we did not give them the opportunity to enter the market, they would choose to do so anyways.
The low bar to entry meant thousands of applicants and a higher failure rate. Only about a third of the anticipated retail stores have opened their doors so far. But Marr says the regulatory system has avoided the increases in impaired driving, diversion, and youth access that many had feared.
For us, that was much more important than a headline that said, we opened 300 stores in 6 months. And we were willing to accept that trade-off. Listen, someone that wants to obtain marijuana in this state can obtain it. We hope they obtain it through our recreational stores. But there is no one that's going around saying, I have no ability to obtain marijuana.
In that sense, he says the 502 system is a success. Marr is retiring from the Liquor Control Board to work as a lobbyist, but not on marijuana issues. He may work as a consultant to other states as they create their own regulations for legal marijuana. He says he'll just be watching from the sidelines as legislators look at whether to lower marijuana taxes, whether to share more money with local governments, and how to tackle illicit marijuana and boost traffic in the state-licensed stores. I'm Amy Radel, KUOW News.